Hello, everyone. It is Thursday, April 14th, 2011. This is the PSCA webinar on the path to ICF credentialing made simple. So welcome, everyone. We have about 11 people attending so far tonight. I've been capturing questions that people are asking as we're beginning. We've got quite a nice list. I will recap those for the recording. How long does it take to get your credential from ICF? An overview of the different tiers of credentialing, how to understand what to do for each one. Coaching hours with clients, do they ever expire? Does anyone sign off on the hours, or is it on the honor system? Differences between the styles of coaching, life, executive, et cetera, are they all in one bucket of hours? And how long, once you get your credential, does it last? Do you renew it? And if you do renew, how do you do that? So great questions. Any other questions that want to be added tonight? Make sure that it gets covered. Going.
I have one.
Okay.
The question is around, I'm a PCC, and when I have to apply for it after the 3 years are up, can you speak to the continuing education hour requirements?
Okay.
Oh, good question.
Okay. Good question. What else? Anything else before we dive in? I'm sure you're going to have opportunity to ask questions as we go, but I just wanted to be sure. You know, we as adult learners, we're kind of funny animals. We aren't able to give our full attention until and unless we're sure that what we came to get is going to be gotten. So it's one of the reasons I'd like to get the questions out up front. So anything else burning in your mind before we start? Okay, great. So we will keep these questions in mind and available as we go. I want to just give you just a little bit of background on me so you know where this information is coming from. I'm a long-time ICF member. I joined the ICF in 97. That was the year that ICF merged with the PPCA, Professional and Personal Coaches Association, and I've been actively involved in ICF. I've been an ICF assessor for many years now, so I conduct ACC, PCC, and MCC exams for the ICF. I've also served more than 3 years on the ICF's Credentialing and Program Accreditation Committee. I was the vice chair of that committee last year. So I've also served on the board of ACTO, the Association for Coach Training Organizations, and was its president-elect a year before last. So I'm very involved in coach training and coach credentialing. I have a lot of passion about preparing coaches to be the very best coaches they can be. I've been a coach since 1997, and I've been a trainer and a mentor coach for coaches since 1999. I'm currently on faculty with a local coach training organization called Invite Change. It was originally founded as the Academy for Coach Training, and I was a graduate of that program in 1999. I was in the first graduating class, actually. So welcome. I'm so glad you're here tonight, and I know that you have questions, and one of my goals is to I'm a big advocate for credentialing. I think you can see from the little factoids that I have on the screen as we arrive today that credentialing is becoming more and more important in the mind of the consumer, and this is becoming even more apparent as organizations are looking to hire coaches. Many organizations, their requirements for hiring a coach, either internally or externally, is an ICF credential, and so it's going to become even more important to all of us as coaches. And then another thing, too, is that I hear often from coaches who take great pride in their professionalism how frustrating it is that anybody out there on Main Street USA can hang out a shingle and call themselves a coach, and they're really not doing coaching. They're doing consulting or some other form of service, and it's not being done in the coaching paradigm as we all know it and as I tend to love it. So credentialing is also another way to make sure that that people are getting what they are paying for when they hire a coach, and that they know how to what to look for. And a credential is certainly one way that they can be assured that the coach that they're hiring has been properly trained and has been examined for their level of competency. So, and that they keep themselves up to date with continuing education. That was one of the questions of tonight too. So. That's a little bit of background on me and where I'm coming from. So I wanted to share with you, these will answer most of our questions that have been posed. And so this is the portfolio application process. The ICF has done a terrific job in the last several years in particular of making the application forms more readily understandable, more step-by-step, easy to follow. They are in the process of getting the online submission has been available for a while, but they're in the process of streamlining that even more. I saw an announcement come out from ICF, I think last week or the week before, as they were getting ready to launch the revised website, that the credentialing applications are going to be simpler and easier. So basically, you'll want to download those forms and look through them when you're getting ready to apply for your credential. You're going to be preparing a coach-specific training log, so that means wherever you got your training hours, you will. And there are templates, there are formats inside ICF's application forms that they ask you to follow. They want it in a certain format. So you will put down the name of the school or the program that you attended, what were the dates, how many hours of coach-specific training were there, who was your primary instructor, et cetera, that type of information. And you'll do that for each component of your training up to the point that you're putting in the application. We'll be talking a little bit about the differences between ICF-approved training courses and other courses, because if the courses that you're listing are not ICF-approved, then you also have to build a case for what did you learn and how is it specific to your coaching. Or it's a little more involved if it's a non-ICF-approved program. So you'll have that training log put together. For an ACC, you would want a minimum of 60 hours of coach-specific training. For a PCC, you will want 125 hours at a minimum of coach-specific training. And for an MCC application, you will need 200 hours of coach-specific training on your log. Questions about that before I move forward?
Are the, let's say you get your ACC hours in, then if you do continuing education, does that go toward the PCC hours, or is there specific PCC training?
Yeah, so whenever you renew your credential and upgrade the credential, whatever hours you've had prior to that, you add the current training hours since your credential was awarded to accumulate to those 125 and 200 hours. Okay. You will also prepare a coaching hours log. So you will be putting together a list of the name of a client, their contact information, an email address or a phone number for them, the period of time during which you coached with them, and the total number of hours. And there are two columns that you're asked to create on the table. One is for pro bono hours and one is for paid hours. So you will enter the hours that you spent with that client in the appropriate column. The application will tell you how many paid and unpaid hours there can be. For the ACC, for example, 100 client hours is required, 75 of which have to be paid, only 25 of which can be pro bono. So, and at each level, there's a breakdown of that, and we'll see a chart about that shortly that will give you those numbers. Also, even if your coaching agreement has a clause in it that your client signs that tells them that you will be releasing their contact information for credentialing purposes only, even if you've done that on your agreements, I really encourage you to reach out to your clients that are going to be on that log to let them know that you're applying and that the ICF might contact them about it. It's a professional courtesy. Many times they've probably forgotten, perhaps, that they've given you that permission, so you have an opportunity in that conversation or email to remind them of that. And what this goes to one of the questions, which was, do client hours ever expire, and does anyone sign off on the hours, or is it the honor system? It is the honor system for the hours that are there. The coaching hours don't expire, per se, but whatever hours you put together for your application, so let's say you're applying for your ACC and you have 100 client hours, you're going to want to, be in integrity with yourself about were those actually coaching hours as ICF defines coaching, or was some of that time spent in consulting or counseling or some other modality. So it really is your honor that the hours that you're putting down for each client were indeed coaching hours as defined by the ICF. And then the ICF staff will do spot checks of the coaching hours logs as they come through. They verify all of your education, and then they also do spot checks on your coaching hours log. So they don't contact everyone, obviously, but they do spot checks to make sure that the name you've given remembers that they coached with you and can attest to the number of hours that you're listing that you coached with them.
Amora, are you taking questions right now?
I can. Do you have a question about that?
Well, it's actually pretty timely to this particular point. I worked for DVM for 12 years, and I did a significant amount of training and consulting, but I also did a very substantial amount of coaching. When I contacted my supervisor there, and we went through and we calculated what percentage of the client contact time that I had done was actually coaching, and he wrote a letter to support this, and I had talked with the ICF staff before I did this. So I don't have access to contact information for those clients anymore. I've not been there for a number of years. He provided documentation to that specifying the amount of time and is the contact to confirm that. Do you see any problem with that?
I don't. As long as the ICF staff said that would be okay, then he's who you list as your contact,
and
you list the total number of hours there. You might want to be sure, I don't know if the ICF staff mentioned this to you, but you might want to go back and be sure if there were any of those hours that were done with coaching your direct reports. The ICF does not recognize coaching hours for managers who coach their direct.
No. These were all clients of DVM. It never even occurred to me to consider the coaching my staff.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Good,
okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Great question. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for asking it.
I have a question. How do you reconcile the need for confidentiality with clients with sending their personal information, because I can think of some clients I have coached who would not want that shared.
Right. And so you don't include them. as I said, many coaches build a clause into the agreement, the coaching agreement, that says that everything is confidential with one exception, and that is when the coach is applying for credentials, that the client would give permission to the coach to use their name and contact information, knowing that that's not going to be shared anywhere other than for credentialing purposes with the ICF.
So what is the ICF?
If the client says no, you would not include them on your log.
So then you couldn't count the hours?
Right. Those hours would not count.
So if they're not willing to share their name, then the hours don't count.
Correct.
Okay. And then what happens at the ICF with the documents you send to them?
My sense is they would shred them. Don't quote me on that. But I believe that once the credential has been awarded, that that confidential information would be shredded. But I would say double check with the ICF office about that. But that's my sense of what they do with it. Good questions. Anything else about coaching hours? The question that the gentleman asked just a moment ago kind of goes to this, do the hours ever expire? Once you've reported those hours for a specific level of credential, then just as with your training, you start at that number. So if you have an ACC, you start at the 100 hours that you had on your log at the time you got your ACC, and then you add from there to get up to your 125 and 200 hours. 750 and 2,500 hours. So client hours for ACC are 100, and for PCC they're 750, and for MCC they're 2,500 client hours on your log. And that's cumulative from as you move up credentials.
Amara?
And there's no differentiation in those hours between whether it was executive coaching or life coaching. The ICF takes the stance that coaching is coaching is coaching regardless of what adjective you put before it, so differentiating the type of coaching is not necessary. And I'm sorry, someone had a question?
Amara, can you hear me?
I hear you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought I wasn't on. It's Karen. I have to go back to the gentleman's question about working in a company. I've logged the folks that I've coached, their names, et cetera, but the manager would be the one who would verify the coaching hours, et cetera. I guess I don't know whether to put her down and the manager with all the number of hours, or the actual coachees. So and they were never really we never discussed confidentiality as far as taking it to the credentialing board. I mean, I could talk to them now, but the manager certainly did.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I would refer you to the ICF office. George Rogers is the director of credentialing, so place a call to George and ask him that specific question, because it would seem to me that the manager could attest to that for you, but I'm not sure. So please double-check that.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. If you are applying for a PCC or an MCC credential and you're going through the portfolio application process, that means you did not get your coaching certification from an accredited coach training program, an ACTP. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if you are a PCC or an MCC level coach, you will supply a recording of one of your sessions with a client. You will have that client's permission, of course. And so you will want to make sure that you have a recording that really shows you moving through all of the ICF core coaching competencies. From the assessors are listening for everything from competency number one, ethics and standards, are they being abided by in this conversation, all the way through competency 11, managing progress and accountability. So make sure that in that session with your client, you have covered all the bases of each of the competencies. I have an analogy that I'd like to share with you. I call it the washing machine analogy, and there is a pod here on in the webinar classroom that has these documents that you can download. I'll move the note pod in just a moment, but the washing machine analogy is an easy way. I use this with my mentor coaching clients to see the competencies as a process and to know that you're moving through a process that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So the concept here is that competency one is the ethics and standards. You know, that's the outer machine body within which everything else occurs. Competency two of establishing the coaching agreement, that's the clothing to be washed, and that includes a session topic, a desired outcome, measures of success, and meaning to the client of that desired outcome. Then competencies three and four, that's the washing machine's inner drum or container for the clothing. So that's establishing trust and intimacy and your coaching presence. So the next three competencies, active listening, powerful questioning, and direct communication, become that back and forth action in that drum that in which the clothing washes. And the dirt is taken out of the clothing so that the cloth is clearer to see. Then competency eight, creating awareness, that's the rinse cycle. That's where you distill with the client, you know, what is the awareness that they're taking away that they have not had before or that they've expanded on. And then competencies nine and ten, designing actions and planning and goal setting, that's the spin cycle. And that's where the next steps and the goals in support of the awareness are created. And then the emptying out cycle is competency 11, managing progress and accountability. And that supports the client in staying in forward motion and anchors the meaning of their desired outcome for themselves. So I offer this analogy for you as a simple way to remember what the process is. And you know, my premise is that what distinguishes a coaching conversation from any other type of conversation is that it contains these 11 components. They're present in each and every coaching conversation. So I offer that for you as a context, especially as you're preparing your recording to go in for your exam, and then also as you participate in your live exam. Yep. At PCC and MCC level, you also have a live exam with assessors. So you are also going to want to make sure you go through that entire process in that live exam, too, because the assessors are looking for all of those competencies to show up. So questions, comments, thoughts about the washing machine analogy?
Yes, this is Russ Taylor. I'm sorry, I came in a little late on the call. I just wanted to confirm, when you talk about the portfolio process, you're talking about people who have not gone through one of the certified training programs, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've just moved the discussion notes window so that you can see to the lower right of that kind of kitty corner from my image is a pod called Download Files. You can click on any of these files or all of them, and just once you highlight it, click Save to My Computer, and they will download to your computer. And the washing machine analogy is one of those documents that you can download. So they're all here for your taking.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. That's really great.
Yeah, you're welcome. My pleasure. Also, you'll want to solicit reference letters from coaches who have recently heard you coach and will attest to the skill level of the credential you're applying for. So we'll talk about the number of those in just a few minutes. You also want to submit attestation to your 10 hours of mentor coaching from your mentor coach or coaches if you've mentored with several. Again, note that the mentoring must be only on your coaching competencies. The 10 hours mentoring cannot include any practice building or marketing, coaching, none of that. This is having a mentor coach specifically work with you in listening to you coach and giving you feedback on each competency as it plays out, as you exhibit it. So you'll have a letter from your coach or your mentor coach or coaches that attest to those 10 hours. And by the way, those 10 hours must cover a span of at least 3 months' time. 10 hours, 1 week. It must be done over time, because the idea is that mentor coaching helps you improve over time, because you have a mentoring session, you get feedback, you go away, you apply that feedback and deepen it with your clients, you come back, you have another mentoring session, etc. So it's designed to occur over time, and that minimum time frame is 3 months. Then you would complete the application and submit everything to the ICF with the fee for the credential application. So was that fairly clear? Any lingering questions about that before we move forward?
When you say a mentor coach, do you mean the MCC level is giving you mentorship? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, a mentor coach is in the United States. Must be at least a PCC level if you're applying for an ACC credential, and they must be an MCC level if you're applying for a PCC. So an ACC or a PCC applicant can use an MCC level coach as a mentor coach. Another thing to look for in your mentor coach is have they also been trained as an ICF assessor, because they also then know what ICF is looking for. I happen to be a graduate of a program that I designed for Invite Change, the Mentor Coach Certification Program, and there's a listing on the Invite Change website of the coaches who have been certified along with their credential level. So if you're looking for a truly qualified mentor coach, you can certainly look there. You can also do a search on the ICF website. But you do need, if you're going for your PCC or your MCC, you need to work with an entry-level coach. Good question. Okay, so what happens when you do all of that? You've put in all that hard work and time. So when ICF receives your application, the staff checks it for completeness. If there's anything missing, they'll let you know. They will not do anything with the application until everything is in and in the format that they requested in. So it will sit on someone's desk until all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Once they've verified that has happened, then they will send you, now again, we're talking about portfolio applicants, they will send you the written exam, and the written exam is taken only by PCC and MCC applicants. Bear in mind that once you get that exam, you have 48 hours only to complete it and get it back to ICF. And it doesn't matter if you receive it on a Friday, you've got 48 hours. It needs to be back into ICF. So just be aware of that time frame. The written exam is primarily focused on the ethics. So there are some case studies that ask you questions about ethics and standards. There are case studies that ask you what core coaching competencies would you use in this particular situation to coach this particular client and this topic. So it's a series of primarily essay-type questions that really ask you to let the ICF know that you really know and can apply all of the ethics and standards and all of the core coaching competencies. Any questions about the written exam before I move on? I will take that as a good to go.
So how All long right. would you say it takes a person, this is Georgine, how long would you say it takes a person to actually complete it? Is it a grueling 12-hour exam or
I would say
hours,
you want to set aside a good amount of time. You want to be thoughtful and thorough in your answers, because you want the assessor who's judging it to be able to see how well you understand what's being asked of you and how well you're applying the application. So, yeah, those 48 hours are going to have a good chunk of you giving your best thought and effort to answering the questions. Good question, Georgine.
Okay.
Amara, I've got a comment on that, because I took the exam a year ago, and it took me 8 hours and one day, and then I went back the next day and took about 3 more hours.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
This is Janet, Amara.
Yes, Janet.
If we've been already certified and did the written exam, do we take another written exam for the PCC and MCC when we get there through ICF?
No. If you have graduated from an accredited coach training program, which you have, then you will not have to take – you have taken your written exam and you've taken your oral exam through
okay.
that. It's only when you apply for your MCC that you will take – you will have a recorded oral exam and a live oral exam, but no written exam. So all MCCs do that, regardless of whether they've graduated from an ACTP or not.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. And I'll talk about those distinctions in just a few minutes here. All right, so once your exam is received, so remember that your application does not go forward yet again until your written exam is received back by the ICF. Once they receive it, they will reach out to the assessor pool and line up, ask the assessors to step forward, making sure that they have no conflicts of interest in being your assessor. So that means they haven't been your coach or your mentor coach or one of your instructors. So we're looking for, totally unbiased. So the call goes out to the assessors to volunteer to score your written exam, to score your recorded exam, and then to provide your live exam. So they will offer forward dates. The ICF will let you know what those dates and times are, and then you'll all agree. And then your live exam will be scheduled. Then, one thing to note is that the assessor pool is all volunteer. It's completely a volunteer workforce. And the number of applications for credentials have doubled each year for the last 2 to 3 years. So you can imagine what kind of strain that's putting on a volunteer workforce. So patience is the key right now. ICF is very much in active process of streamlining the credentialing process. But at this point in time, patience is the watchword, and it can be 6 months to a year before you get your results back on all of your exams. Sad truth, and it's simply what is right now. Then lastly, I just want to give you a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, of what to expect when you come to the live exam. And again, we're talking about portfolio applicants. When you come, what I've found as an assessor is that sometimes if the applicant really isn't aware of the process they're facing, and the assessors try to do a good job at the front end of your exam explaining to you what's going to happen, but, my personal feeling is that by you having a little bit of this context now before you even get to that call, it's going to help you be more settled, centered, and prepared. So for an ACC exam, you will meet for 60 minutes on an ICF toll-free bridge line with one assessor. The assessor will give you some of the ground rules for the exam, and then you will coach that assessor for 30 minutes, no more, on a topic that is real for the assessor. There is no role-playing. The assessor brings something that's absolutely real in their life. And at the end of the coaching, then the assessor will give you a little bit of feedback on your coaching, but they will not give you the results of your exam. Once you leave the call, the assessor then will prepare a written report that gives comments on each and every competency as they experienced it in the coaching session. They send that to ICF. Then ICF sends you a written notification about your application and what has been achieved in your exam, and you receive the comments that the assessor has given, and you get those verbatim. That usually happens within 60 days of your exam. So that's the ACC process, live exam process. It's pretty simple and straightforward. On the PCC and MCC level, the live exam is conducted by two assessors, one of whom will be your client and the other who will be an observer and the facilitator for the call. You meet again on a toll-free ICF bridge line. You have 30 minutes, up to 30 minutes, to coach your client. There is no role-playing. You coach them on something that's real. When the coaching is complete, you leave the call. then the assessors will put their heads together and they will rate and comment on each of the competencies that they experienced you demonstrating in the call, and they'll put together written comments. For the PCC and MCC, then that live those live results, along with the result of a collaboratively scored written exam and a collaboratively scored recorded exam, all three of those go with the assessor's comments to ICF. They write you a letter, let you know what the outcome of your exam is, what level of credential you've qualified for, and you get verbatim the comments from the assessors. So that's what you can expect in the portfolio exam process on the live exam portion. Any questions about that before we move on?
Yes. Maura, did you say that you get feedback on your exam?
You get written feedback on your exams, yes. At the
okay.
ACC level, you get written feedback from your one assessor. And on PCC and MCC, you get the combined, the collaboratively created comments from your assessors.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking is because what I got in the mail was my PCC credential, but I got no feedback. Is that just a miss, and should I contact them?
Did you take a live and submit a recorded exam, or was it a renewal?
Oh, no, it was a first-timer. Yeah, I coached MCC on a Bridgeliner, and I took the written test, and I didn't – all I got was a credential in the mail. So I passed, but I never got into
congratulations on the credential, but it was a miss. You should have received the other documentation as well. So you want to contact ICF about that.
Okay, thanks. I wondered about that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. By the way, on the PCC and the MCC oral exam, you will not be given any verbal feedback about your coaching, and again, you will not be told whether or not you passed at the level that you're applying. All right. So we've been talking a lot about, let's see, what do I want to share here? Let's go here. Because I know that some of you are very curious about this. So this chart is the credentialing requirements chart. Now, again, this is available for you to download either here tonight or from the ICF website. You'll notice that across the top, the columns are split between ACC, ACTP, and ACCPA. That's portfolio application. Two columns, again, for the PCC, two routes. There's one application only for MCC, as I said, regardless of whether you graduated from an ACTP. The benefit to being certified by an ACTP, which stands for Accredited Coach Training Program, is that you will have a minimum of 125 hours of coach-specific training that has been reviewed and approved by the ICF. So you're good to go on your coach training hours for both your ACC and your PCC by having been certified through an ACTP. You will have your work with a mentor coach is covered within your training at an ACTP. Your hours experience is the same because at each level, whether you're an ACTP grad or not, you have to have these 100 hours at ACC level with a minimum of 75 paid and a minimum of 8 clients. At PCC, you're going to need a minimum of 750 client hours, 675 of which have to be paid, and with a minimum of 25 clients. And at the MCC level, you have a minimum of 2,500 hours, 2,250 of which are paid, and a minimum of 35 clients. So that's across the board, whether you are certified by an ACTP or not. For ACC, you'll need two reference letters. And for PCC, you need two reference letters. The joy of going through an ACTP is that your instructors and your mentor coaches in the program are often the ones who write those letters for you. If you're not going through an ACTP, then you need to have your mentor coach and one other coach listen to your coaching and provide those letters for you. At the MCC level, an MCC applicant needs three reference letters. on your exams, so the oral and the written exams are authorized by ICF to be administered within your ACTP program. Without being certified by an ACTP program, then you have to demonstrate your competency at the ACC level in a live oral exam. At the PCC level, you demonstrate it through written, a live oral, and a recorded session. And at the MCC, you have to demonstrate it through a live oral and a recorded session for all MCC applications. ACTP graduate MCC coaches do not have to take the written. And then you'll notice this, the bottom row answers the question about, you know, do you renew your credential? Yes, you do. So it's on a 3-year cycle for each level, regardless of whether it's ACC, PCC, or MCC. 40 continuing coach education units are required, and 10 hours of mentor coaching for an ACC, 40 CCEUs for PCC, and also 40 CCEUs for MCC. And on the ICF website, they break it down as to how many of those hours have to be on the core coaching competencies and how many on other other training skills and tools. Questions? I think that answers several of the questions that were posed as we began tonight. Does this help you differentiate between portfolio and ACTP applications?
Yeah, Amor, I have a question. So I took the PCC portfolio, did it the portfolio route. So when I go for the MCC, do I still have to take a written exam even though I took one for the PCC?
Yes. Oh, no, okay. Wait a minute. Let me think about that. I don't believe you do. If you were already PCC credentialed, I don't believe you have to take the written exam at the MCC level. It's just
okay.
The live and the recorded oral.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, good question. Any other questions or thoughts about these differentiations between an ACTP application and a portfolio application?
Well, under the MCC, Amar, it does say demonstrate competency in written. Well, double star, maybe the double star.
Yeah, the double star, there's down below, it's current PCCs are exempt from written exam and mentor coach requirements.
Okay.
that just wasn't visible. Good point. Okay, great.
Great.
This is Janet. I took the mentor coach certification.
Mm-hmm.
As you know. And I'm wondering if any of those hours count towards coaching hours.
They do.
Oh,
absolutely.
They do.
Yes, they do, absolutely. And your certificate denotes how many, those are continuing education hours, and your certificate lists how many are in core competencies. There's a breakdown of the hours as they are awarded. I think there are 28 total that you earn in that course.
Okay. And so the hours would be when I mentor coached.
When you took the training, you earned 28 continuing coach education hours.
Okay. But I
when you mentor coached, those hours are not countable except for the person that you mentored if they are putting forward an application. So if you coached for a half hour with one of the applicants, the thing to remember, though, is that you have to be above their credential level that they're applying for in order for your mentor coaching to count.
Okay.
Does that answer?
Okay. So that basically means that I can't count. I'm just trying to get this clear. I can ask you this later.
Okay, yeah, we'll cover it. We can cover that one-on-one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we've been talking about these different types of programs, so I wanted to, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm being fumble-fingered tonight. My apologies. Where did that go? be patient. I'm getting there. Okay. So we've been talking about these different designations. So as you can see from this, these are the three logos that you'll want to look for on a website or on brochures or documentation about any of the training that you're looking for. You can also search the ICF website for programs by these designations. So you can put in ACTP in your search, and it'll bring up all of the ACTPs that you could investigate. Same is true with the other two designations here of ACSTH and CCE. So ACTP, this is a program that has been vetted by the ICF. It contains 125 minimum coach-specific training hours. The program does include your mentoring hours, your written exam, and your oral exam. And you can apply, as soon as you're certified by an ACTP, you can apply for either your ACC or PCC credential via the ACTP application process, depending on the number of client hours you have. An ACSTH program is coach-specific training. These programs are accredited, again, by the ICF. They've been vetted that they cover the core coaching competencies for you. Each of these programs can have a minimum of 30 up to 124 coach-specific training hours contained in them. These programs do not include mentoring, a written exam, or an oral exam. So when you apply for your ACC or your PCC, if you've accumulated your 60 hours of training or your 125 hours of training or your 200 hours of training through these types of programs, you apply via the portfolio route. And then you'll see the designation of CCE, that's Continuing Coach Education. These are courses that can apply toward your coach-specific training for your first credential, for example, or also this is the type of program that you would want to look for and participate in, either a CCE or an ACSTH, for your continuing ed hours for your renewal to get those 40 hours of continuing education. So either of these two, the ACSTH or the CCE, can count as continuing education as long as they haven't already, those courses that you've taken haven't already been counted in a credential application prior to your renewal. If your training that you've taken does not have any of these three designations, then, as I said earlier, you will need to provide, make a case for the training that you took when you included on your training hours log as to what did you learn, how do you apply it in your coaching, how does it qualify as coach-specific training. So you have a little more work to do when you're using training programs that have not been approved by the ICF. Does this help clarify a little bit more for you about the training?
Yeah.
Or did it muddy the waters?
Well, this is Russ Taylor. A question about the coach-specific training, the difference between PCC and MCC. I have more than 2,500 hours I can document. I've been trying to decide which way to go. What do the CCE hours, would those count for that difference between 125 and 200? What's necessary for
Are
that?
Are you already a PCC going to MCC, Russ?
No. I graduated from the Hudson Institute about 4 years ago, and I've just never gotten to doing this process.
Ah, okay. Yes, so you have 125 hours at least from Hudson. I think their program has a few more hours than that, so you might want to double-check that. That, again, should probably mm-hmm. be on your certificate from them.
Mm-hmm.
And to get up to that 200 hours for your MCC application, you can use a combination of ACSTH or CCE courses that you've taken.
Okay.
In addition
Great.
To your
Thank
Hudson
you.
Hours. Yeah.
Emma, I have a question about the ACTP versus portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
The requirements for the threshold of passing the exam, the oral exam, it's at a 5 for the portfolio. Is it at that same for the ACTP courses, or is that specified by the ACTP course itself?
That's specified by the ACTP course itself. And ACTP is required by the ICF to test their students to the PCC level of skill.
I see.
And so each ACTP defines what that level is for themselves. But as long it has to be within the PCC range in order for those exams to be valid.
Okay.
Good question. Okay. So let's take a look back here at our questions. How long does it take to get your credential from the ICF? I think I answered that. Once you submit the application, it can be up to 6 months, between 6 months and a year, sometimes much sooner than that, but be patient. Overview of the different tiers of credentialing. We've gone through that. Are there any questions for whoever asked this question? Anything left lingering for you?
What percentage of people pass each level of credentialing the first time they take the test?
Right now, the ACC exam is pretty high. The PCC exam is over 50%, and the MCC exam is between 7 and 15%. The reason for that is that, it's a number of reasons, but people applying for the MCC, it's a real nuanced level of artistry in each of the competencies that's being sought and listened for. Oftentimes an MCC candidate is a wonderful PCC coach, and they've gotten those 2,500 hours, and they've got 2,500 hours of beautiful PCC coaching. And they feel that they're ready to take their MCC, and they just haven't passed, they haven't stepped over the line, they haven't emerged into that MCC level of coaching. And that's one of the reasons that the 10 hours of mentor coaching was instituted for MCC applicants as well. And the ICF has a table on their website of, you know, what are the behaviors that are being listened for, what behaviors differentiate an ACC, a PCC, and an MCC. Those are the criteria that the assessors are listening to. Oftentimes, too, with an MCC applicant, if they have not done the exam process before for either an ACC or a PCC level, their not passing is sometimes a result of their inexperience of what's being expected, too. So that's another reason that's a little lower. Good question.
So I have a follow-on question for that. If I have the number of hours to qualify for the MCC exam, but I choose to go for the PCC level at this point, will those hours be retained as I prepare for the MCC?
Yes. Yes, they will.
Because you had said that they shred the documents.
Well, you hold on to yours, so that when you do go for the PCC, for the MCC, you don't have to recreate your PCC log.
Okay.
You want to hold on to it.
So I may need to resubmit the log. Would that be the case?
Yes, you will.
Okay.
So please hang on to those documents and keep adding to them if you're heading toward MCC.
And
or if you're already there, just keep adding to them.
Yeah. And could we assume that if you've gone through an accredited program and you're applying in that track, that the decision process would be shorter than the portfolio process?
At the MCC level?
No, at the PCC level.
At PCC, yes. The ACTP application process is, I call it your golden pass to credential, because everything is covered in your ACTP program, and your log attests to your hours of experience and training. And so you don't have to wait for an assessor to do your exams, et cetera. So those applications pass through usually within 60 to 90 days.
Oh, great. That's helpful clarification.
Yeah. It's another perk for investing in an ACTP.
Amora, I have a question also.
Yeah.
Going back to the passing at what level for the oral exam, what are the pass levels that ICF is looking for an ACC, a PCC, and an ACC?
An ACC will be scoring anywhere from 2 to 4 as an average for all of the competencies. A PCC will have attained a score of 5 to 7, and an MCC will have attained a score of 8 to 10. The ICF does not share with you what your scores were. They share with you the comments, but they don't share the scores. They share with you the level of credential that you're being offered, and they share with you the verbatim comments from your assessors, but you do not see the scores.
Okay, but you, another question on that. You said that the ACTPs are required to test to a PCC level,
mm-hmm.
But they're not required to grade to that level?
ACTPs rate your exams in the same way that the ICF does, and so an ACTP oral exam has to have a threshold of 5, 6, or 7 for you to pass the ACTP oral exam, and as we talked about earlier, each ACTP determines which of those score levels they will test to.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's within that PCC range.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Coaching hours with clients, do they ever expire? Does anyone sign off, or is it the honor system? All one bucket. 3-year renewal. If you renew, there is an application process that's very simple where you document your additional training up to that 40 hours. And we already talked about continuing ed requirements. So I'm wondering if there's any other questions that you would like to ask. I also wanted to share with you that for those of you who are going for your portfolio process and are looking for a mentor coach, I do have a program that's coming up on June 7th. It begins June 7th. And there's a flyer here for you, and you can download that if you'd like, and you can visit my website if you'd like. But this program gives you 15 1/4 hours of continuing ed credit, and it also gives you 10 hours of your mentor coaching over that 3-month minimum time frame. So it covers both bases for you, and it's a lot of fun. So please join
Maura, one final question from me. I noted on the ICF website that they were indicating that there's a new streamlined online application process. Do you have any comments about that?
I don't yet. I haven't had a chance to look through it quite yet, quite frankly. That's one of my on my to-do list. I just haven't gotten to that yet. But I'm sure that it will be a better process.
Have you set a timetable for that for yourself?
I'm hoping to get that done
kidding.
By early next week.
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
Early next week, Coach. I'll get it done.
I couldn't resist.
I know. It's okay. I'm used to being in the company of coaches, so I understand completely.
Do you see the hours at all changing in the near future, the number of hours required or any other criteria changing?
Not until all of these requirements will stay in place at least through December 31 of 2013 at this point. Any changes will happen after that. Okay,
do you have any
question.
Comments on the ISO controversy?
Well, having been on the Credentialing and Program Accreditation Committee for more than 3 years and heading it up and working on the task forces that came up as a result of that, I have a lot to say about that, but unfortunately we don't have time here tonight for that. That's a whole other webinar.
I live in Edmonds. I know where you work.
Yeah, you can come track me down. And I welcome that conversation with you. I'd be happy to have that conversation with you offline, absolutely.
Great.
So I wanted to note the time. We're running just a little bit over, but it felt like it was important to get all of your questions answered. Any last questions before we close? And I want to make sure I thank each and every one of you for being here. It's been my pleasure to answer your questions and to help you understand this process a little bit further for yourselves. So what's been the biggest aha or nugget that you're taking away tonight? No nuggets?
Well, I'm reluctant to speak again right away, but I think the clarity of that PCC path, in terms of just getting this done, was a real helpful confirmation for me.
Good. Your golden pass?
Yes, the golden pass.
Yay for you and Hudson, huh?
Thank goodness.
Yes. I know Bill Lindbergh. I worked with him in ACTO for many years. He's just a doll.
I know you know Bill, and he's been my coach for 4 years.
Yeah, he's just an amazing person as well as an incredible coach.
Yeah.
You're a lucky man.
Last week.
Well, next time you see him, tell him I said hi.
I'll be glad to.
Good, good. Anything else that you want to say? What are you taking away? What's been the best benefit for you tonight of being here?
When I do my wash tonight, I'll be thinking of your analogy.
Oh, good. I think about every time
that.
I do a load as well. So.
Yeah. I have to say that was a real nugget for me, too. This is to look at the core competencies in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
Look, yeah.
Good. Well, I've written an article for Choice Magazine. It should be coming out in September about that. So more to come.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other nuggets that you want to name before we close tonight?
Well, this is Karen. I haven't gone through an ACTP and just also gone through some mentor coaching to create my PCC level assessments. I think that seems to be the best route for me. That's an aha. I should just submit my assessments and get on with it.
There you go. Good. So a fire's been lit. Yay. Fabulous. Best wishes on that, Karen. What other nuggets are you taking away?
Well, this is Janet, and I just need to get on with it.
Yeah. Light your fire, woman.
I know. This has been much, very clear and much appreciated.
Great.
And
I'm
not
glad.
So intimidating.
Yay.
You're here.
Yeah.
Good.
I heard that, yeah.
Good. Wanted to demystify it and simplify it for you, so I hope that's been accomplished.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes. Thank
you. Yeah, you're welcome. You're most welcome. So thank you all for being here. I hope to see many of you at a PSCA meeting sometime in the near future or one of the satellite groups. If there are no further comments, I'll say sayonara.
Night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Night, Amara.
Night.